Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Hi, this is Josh Burns, Joy 94.9's local member of parliament. And you're listening to Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9.
Now, how's that for a bit of randomness?
Yeah, because we love a bit of randomness.
We love a bit of randomness. I'm Macca. My guest co-host is Michael Veitch. Our studio guest is Josh Burns, the member for McNamara. How are you, Josh? How's your Saturday panning out?
I like that lead-in. That was bit bizarre hearing myself do a lead-in on Joy. I really like it.
Yeah, well, it could have actually have been your adjoining seat. It could have been Zoe Daniels. Zoe's done one. Lots of Pollies have done them for us. So,
Macca, you told me I was special and I was the only one who did it.
He says that to everyone.
You are special.
I'm so over it, Macca.
Come on, Macca.
You are special.
Yeah, thanks.
I wanted to ask Josh, we've got a couple of segments here. The domestic violence, it's been called, an epidemic, that it's a national emergency. And, the government, the federal government has allocated some more money to a whole range of services here.
Yeah.
And I wonder, why is it, and state government's the same, this issue is so important. If we can't protect women and children, then there's something desperately wrong with our society.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, money is being found. Why has this issue not been addressed? And I'm not having a crack at you.
Yeah.
Right. I know you do a huge amount of work in this area and you work really closely with, Zoe Daniel and other MPs on this. But it seems to me, we've now got to do something about this. And the same with, mental health. Oh, we've now got to do something about this. Why does it take tragedy for governments to respond?
Look, Macca, this problem didn't start this week. No. And we all know that. I mean, I remember when I was working in Dan Andrews' office and we had a Royal Commission into family violence. And it was a groundbreaking piece of work that looked at how do we prevent, how do we support people in crisis, how do we enable people to get back on with their lives, what work needs to go into policing better and supporting people. It was a comprehensive piece of work by the late Fiona Richardson and Dan Andrews, and it was a profound piece of work that led to huge amounts of investment, unprecedented amounts of investment, especially in Victoria. At the time, the Victorian government put more money than the rest of the country's governments, including the federal government budget allocation combined, into trying to tackle family violence. And clearly, it is still happening in Victoria. So this is not just a matter of governments throwing resources at it. This is a wicked issue that affects people right across the country. We know it affects the LGBTIQ community. We know it affects trans women. We know it affects people in the Jewish community, in the Orthodox Jewish community. It is a silent, wicked problem. We know it affects people from the very, very wealthy to the very, very poor, to people in the cities, to people in the outback. It affects all Australians. And we need to tackle this all together. I think that the only thing I would say, Michael, before you come back, is that there was a moment, and there is a moment now, where the public does demand, and I think especially the women of Australia are demanding that more needs to be done. That how many more people can we look at being killed at the hands of the partner mainly men, and not do something more and not strive to do more. And I think that's where we are at the moment. But this has been a problem that governments have been trying to deal with for a long time. And Tanya Plibersek said this week in a press conference with me just down the road, until there is there is not a single woman or person in this country who is not afraid to be in their own home or just to walk down the street, then we have to keep trying to do more. And this problem is something that governments cannot fix alone. We have to work with the people of Australia, and we have to tackle this from prevention all the way to supporting people getting back to their lives.
You've sort of touched what I was going to say, Josh. It's a cultural change. It's a cultural shift that we need, isn't it? I mean, how have we arrived at this place where in our, free and open country, we have this dreadful problem where often the most vulnerable people are in the most danger at the hands of people that they should not be in danger from at all. Yet we're far more hysterical about things like terrorism and external threats like that. Domestic violence kills far more people than terrorism ever will, especially particularly in this country. Does it need to be treated like an emergency as we would a kind of like a terrorist campaign that killed as many people as domestic violence is actually killing?
Well, I think that this is a national crisis, and that we are in an emergency where we do need to focus the government's and society's attention on trying to create a turning point in Australia's history of moving away from it. But this has to be a long-term ambition. We can't just have these couple of weeks of focus on this and then move on and then go on to the next thing. This has to be something where we have sustained effort to try and tackle especially men's violence, which is cultural, which is personal, which is goes to a whole range of issues around an individual, but also goes to some of the cultural norms that especially young people are being fed and young boys are being fed at the moment. That's why we've allocated some more funding, but we are looking to trial ways in which we prevent the sort of toxic material being presented to young boys, especially. This is very difficult. People are watching pornography at a much younger age, and young boys are being exposed to images and attitudes that are warping their sense of what is acceptable and what is a normal way.
Warp anyone, let alone a child.
Exactly. Mm. So these are difficult cultural issues, but they're also security issues. They're also financial issues. We want to make sure that women are not choosing to stay at home because they've got no other choice. Mm. And at the moment, those payments that we looked to make permanent this week, that National Cabinet made permanent this week, is just one example of, the previous average time to make that transaction was around a month to get that $5,000 payment. I mean, imagine saying to a woman, well, you can leave, but in a month's time you might get $5,000. That's such a disincentive to make a choice to look after yourself and potentially your children. So we're looking and working to make that matter of hours and days and maximum, and that will give people the financial support to at least remove themselves from a dangerous situation and not make it about the finances of being able to potentially feed yourself or find a safer place to stay. So these are complex issues, and if they were easy, they would have been fixed by now. But I do think that we need to collectively work to ensure that people feel safe in this country, especially in their own home.
Mm. Because I think also, Josh, and, our messages are coming in, pretty thick and fast on this issue. Recently, and I don't expect you, and I'm not going to name them, but two MPs are no longer members of the parliamentary party, the Labor Party, for alleged harassment of staff and bad behaviour. Yep. I mean, in the federal parliament, the government, half the members of the government are female.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you'll probably know better than me the percentage that are ministers. So, there's no lack of women saying to the men in the party, this has got to change. We saw the number of women that are pre-selected and elected, you know, that was, it's a big change that's happened over many years. But the reality is, you know, I'm really distressed about this because it's been going on for centuries. And it's almost, you know, okay, we've got a national crisis. All of a sudden we found this money and, you know, I accept that everyone is very serious about fixing it. But I wonder, you know, what do we actually need to do? I mean, Michael, you know, question to you as well. What do we actually need to do to change this? Because it starts with, you know, with young people. We can talk about social media and all that, but it starts with what people learn and what they watch.
I think our policing services also perhaps need to come under that bracket of education that we're trying to, you know, they've been, you know, going back. I mean, domestic violence has always been with us. Whether it's, I don't know if it's statistically worse now than it has been, or our attitudes toward are becoming less and less tolerant. Because back in the days where Mac and I grew up, it was around, but it was always considered that was part of life, particularly for women. I mean, it's awful, but that's what it was like. Well, it was, and not a big fuss was made about it. Now, we're not in those times now, but to push forward to a place where our societal attitudes simply don't tolerate it, that's what we have to get to. And I think the police are a big part of that, because they need to realise that it's a place that we that it's totally unacceptable also.
Well, there was a lot of work done with the police around the ways in which police approach a potential violent situation in a home, as well as supporting females being able to have conversations with police that are not suspicious.
Yeah.
And there was, and also ultimately the seriousness in which police took the safety of an individual in their own home. I mean, that was the sort of the brush off was, oh, they're just having a domestic. Well, that attitude cannot be allowed to stand today. So I think that there is definitely work across all aspects of society. And if you listen to what survivors are telling us, you know, through the number of, you know, through the Royal Commission, through a number of reviews and reports and examinations of this over the years, there are some key pillars that we need to be working through. Prevention, making sure that we are ensuring that there are respectful relationships being ingrained into our young people, and the sorts of attitudes and societal cultural norms that we want to be impressing on our young people, trying to intervene earlier on in the cycle, making sure that people, you know, do have safe places to go to. But if there is a crisis, where do people go? You know, we have people being turned away from crisis accommodation every single night, and that can't be allowed to stand, because either you go back to a dangerous situation, or you sleep in your car, or, you know, you make an unsafe decision, and that's a terrible, terrible thing to confront someone. But then we also need to be supporting people getting back, being able to rebuild their lives. Now, if you've come out,
no one's doubting that it's an incredibly difficult and complex task, but I don't underestimate the power of people just talking about it. Like, nothing that is hidden ever changes.
Yeah,
and we're not a society that needs to hide it now. So I actually think talking about it is incredibly important for young people, because they have to know that they can talk about it and say something when they sense something is wrong in their domestic situation. That possibly leads to change.
We're just going to we'll stay on this, Josh, and we'll come back. You are on Saturday Magazine with Macca and Michael Veitch. Stay with us.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture. Saturday Magazine, every Saturday 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
Nothing to see here. Oh no, don't put the lights on. Don't put the lights on. Oh, damn it.
Evening driver, license please. Don't be tempted to take risks while you're driving. Chances are you will be caught. Anywhere, anytime. A message from the TAC. Drive safely for everyone.
Joy sponsor. Joy Weekly is your friendly midweek dose of juicy entertainment news, sports goss, celebrity guests, amazing interviews, and a bucket load of banter.
Join us, Joel and Dave, for 1 hour of music, news, and laughs to get you over the weekly hump.
Plus, name another radio program with a segment dedicated to famous people called Jennifer.
Tune in to Joy Weekly for Jennifer Watch and tons more fun, 6 p.m. Wednesdays only on Joy.
Or check out the podcast, joy.org.au/joyweekly.
Hello, this is Neil Mitchell from 3AW. What are you listening to? Well, you should know. You're listening to Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9.
There you go. Thanks, Neil.
Thanks,
you are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, Macca and Michael Veitch. I wanted to, you know, this is, you know, domestic violence, my community, this has been a real hidden issue for many, many years, and you know, bringing attention to it is very important, as Michael said, talking about it. If you are impacted by this, there are lots of services available, but Rainbow Door, for example, you know, a fantastic service, you know, for our community that actually understands the issues and, you know, can really help you and guide you with what your options are. And I encourage you to contact that.
And it's definitely it's definitely worth pointing out that if English is not your first language, there are other languages that Rainbow Door will connect you with. And if you want the number, it's 1-800-729-367. That's 1-800-729-367.
And there's also on the Joy website, there are some links for places that you can go for help. Look, I am pleased, Josh, you know, that we're having this discussion. I'm pleased, you know, the federal and state governments are responding. I do feel that the culture, you know, it's the culture that needs to change. Mm. And, you know, Michael and myself are a lot older than you, and we can think back to our youth.
Oh, well, a lot older.
Well,
a lot older.
We've got a few years on it.
Were you panning for gold, Macca?
Yeah, almost. Yeah, I remember them raising the Eureka flag.
Yeah.
But, you know, how attitudes have changed. But also, what informs people is social media. So we've seen, you know, the federal government and you know, the regulator wanting ex Twitter to take down some content. And I say clearly here, I don't think that sort of content should be on Twitter.
Yeah.
But particularly in Australia, I think, you know, to be honest, I think it's a bit of a reach for our regulator to say it needs to come off entirely around the world. And I'm not a fan of Elon, but social media plays a big role in this, not just X, all social media, in how it objectifies women, about how it normalises violence, about how it, you know, makes discrimination acceptable.
Hmm.
We've made a start on this, but can I pose this question? Is it too late? Is social media out of control? Is it such a monster?
Genie back in the bottle kind of thing.
Well, genie, I think, you know, the genie's grown and grown and grown. There's no way it's going back in the bottle.
I don't think we're getting rid of social media, Macca. No. And certainly in politics, you know, politicians use social media, including myself, as a vehicle to talk to people, and it's a really important way in which that happens. I do think that there are a couple of key points here. One is that let's separate some of the issues, because this is social media is such a big thing in society. Let's separate this and break this down into a couple of key things. First of all, let's talk about the what the eSafety Commissioner was doing in regards to trying to prevent a terrorist video being broadcast on Twitter. And then I also think it's worth talking about some of the cultural norms that have developed as a result of social media, because I think they're obviously linked, but they're also separate. Let's start with the eSafety Commissioner. What we're talking about was Elon Musk refusing to take down videos of the terrorist attack in the Assyrian church in Western Sydney by a young terrorist who stabbed a bishop. This was a very graphic incident, and the eSafety Commissioner determined that it was not in the public interest to have such a graphic incident being broadcast. Mm. Now, there are a number of reasons why, and I'll let the eSafety Commissioner determine that, but it's not that hard to guess that obviously such a violent act is extremely emotive and triggering for a lot of people, but also for people of faith to have it being across religions. Mm. You know, we don't want things to be escalating in society where people are building up anger. And even immediately after the incident, there was, you know, there was a lot of anger outside the church, and and it was and it escalated very quickly. Well, you can imagine
all
that
called to the church by social media.
Well, indeed, right? And it was all you know, revenge and anger, and that is very difficult to manage. And I think that it's in everyone's interest to, you know, to deal with the incident. It's obviously completely unacceptable, and we wish the bishop and anyone who else was affected a full recovery. These are, you know, if the e-safety commissioner says this is unsafe and needs to be taken down, that doesn't happen lightly. This was a terrorist incident, one that has the ability to provoke real tension in society, and Elon Musk and X should have complied with it. They refuse to, so we're now looking at what powers we need in order to ensure that if that threshold, which is not made by the Prime Minister or a politician, is crossed, then that is adhered to. I also want to make the point about a separate issue, and this is around the way in which we're talking to each other on social media. A lot of people use anonymous accounts. A lot of people use accounts that doesn't give their full personal details. A lot of people are happy to give to just use their name and their own personal details as well. But when we have a conversation with someone in person, you know, you look them in the eye, you talk, and then you wait for them to talk back to you, and you have a conversation that's back and forth. On social media, you type your line and then you turn off your phone, and or you can walk away and you can do something else. And there isn't that person-to-person interaction. And what it's doing, I think, is it's making us more willing to not be considerate of what the other person might feel, to not be considerate of how they might react, of if they were talking to you, how would you want to be treated? And I do think that social media is becoming so transactional and so immediate,
yes,
and also so void of the sort of cultural norms that you would normally get with a person-to-person conversation, that it is actually becoming very toxic in society.
Indeed. Social media is extraordinary. It has a power to enlighten and expand and link up people, but it also has the power to shut people off, reinforce toxic opinions and feelings, bad emotions, and reinforce them. They get this, you know, people who've always felt a particular way, outliers perhaps in society with their opinions about all sorts of things, and there've always been people like that in society, but some aspects of social media sort of convinces them, no, it's okay to think like that. Mm. It's okay to hate that person because of what they are, because someone else is doing it on the other side of the world,
yep,
and they've got this big platform on my phone that looks really good and efficient and like it's a thing, and I'm not an outlier. Yeah. I'm actually a player,
yeah,
and that's where the danger gets. And when you have young people, like Macra and I are the generation that grew up before social media, and now we're in it, and we're great users of it, completely, admittedly. But for the younger people who've known nothing but and think that that's part of the way that, as you say, people interact with each other, and the line between how you speak to someone on your phone blurs into how you speak to someone face-to-face, is a very, very difficult and dangerous line to cross. And we're still at the very early stages of what it's going to be for society going forward.
Yeah, it is. It's something that I think we need to be working on with young people, especially who are growing up with this as their you know, main tool, and also thinking about how we treat people respectfully on social media and what sort of interactions we want. I mean, even on my page, my staff are the ones responsible for moderating my pages and ensuring that there isn't hate speech, and that there isn't racism, and that there isn't transphobic or a whole range of different topics, which frankly is exhausting for and emotionally draining for people in politics to have to manage these public spaces, because it's actually the page owner, not the social media company, yes, responsibility for managing this. So I think that, you know, I would definitely encourage people to put down their phones and go and have a conversation with people.
Yeah, have a face-to-face.
And talk to someone, and you'd be surprised that, you know, it doesn't matter what the issue it is, that we have so many issues in society where it becomes so binary, and that you put on social media, and if you're either this, you're with us, or you're not and you're against us. That can't be the way. And it doesn't matter how difficult the issue, whether it's, you know, whether it's dealing with something as wicked as men's violence, or whether it's something as challenging as Middle East politics, we have to be able to talk to each other.
Just quickly, we're running out of time. What's the atmosphere currently like in Canberra regarding domestic violence? There have been lots of meetings and cabinet meetings, and also what's the feeling there about this issue at the moment?
Mm-hmm. I think there is definitely an acknowledgement that, and as Tanya Plibersek said this week, until every single person feels safe and is safe walking our streets, we have to have this sense of urgency to do more. And
that's the PM.
and that's something that we all have to take seriously. I actually think that it's really important. It's really important that we are working across the parliament to try and not make this a partisan fight.
Yeah, if anything was beyond politics, surely it
has to be. And I hope that when we go back to parliament next, not this week, but the following week for budget, that we are the cultural situation of parliament is one where we are all committed to not trying to swing political bats around, but rather all committed to actually working together to try and ensure that there is as much support and effort and focus on this issue, so that more people feel safe and more people are safe in Australia.
Really quickly, Josh.
Let's get back to Albo now. He's been busily messaging you through all
this. Yeah, he is. He's I wanted to recognise that former Prime Minister Scott Morrison talked in his book about his mental health challenges.
Yep.
And
interesting thing that he's ever done.
Yeah. Well, a female member of the ministry also talked about her struggles.
Yep.
And again, it's talking about this, but what it highlights is, I wasn't surprised by that. What I was surprised at was some of the media reaction. And, I can think of lots of environments that are difficult to work in, but federal parliament, both as an MP, senator, or a staffer, that environment is so stressful. And, I hope that in the budget, the government gives more support in mental health, but also gives more support and recognises, a bit of an advocate here, the role that your staff play. And how you need to look after them more, because not just yours, opposition MPs, independent MPs. And when I speak to these people, I couldn't do that job. Seriously?
Yeah, it's a really hard job. Well,
so give them more.
If I did start announcing things in the budget, Jim Chalmers wouldn't just be SMSing me. He'd be calling the studio and saying,
get him
out of here. But we'll have to wait and see what the Treasurer announces. But I agree, Macca. I think there'll be support for people dealing with the financial stresses, which obviously does have mental health connotations. But also, I've been working with Mark Butler on increasing support across our mental health sector, and we'll have more to say on that in the not too distant
future. Great. I look forward to hopefully an announcement in the budget by Jim Chambers that enjoys 31 years, it gets some federal government money. Who knows? Stay with us.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.